Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we are covering your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Sports Atlanta on YouTube, where you can watch the postcast for me and Grant McCauley after just about every Atlanta Braves game. And for me, I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see where I am covering the game of baseball, including your Atlanta Braves in written form over at TomahawkTake.com. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @Locked_Braves and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. Before we get into today's episode, let me remind you that it is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. On this Monday podcast for Locked On Braves, we will be starting talking about the best and worst from the weekend, which included a series win for the Atlanta Braves. We'll also give you our minor league updates of the week. And I'm going to change the format up just a little bit based on your request, and then we're going to preview this four-game series coming up against the Philadelphia Phillies. But let's start with this weekend's series against the Miami Marlins. And we'll start with our best from the weekend since it was a good weekend. And we'll start just there. The Braves get a series win. Look, those have not come easy this year, so you will certainly take them. Obviously, you would have loved a sweep, and they had an opportunity. But you'll take every series win that you can get right now. They start winning series and doing that regularly, then I think this team will be just fine. But have to start doing that now, and they took care of business on the road and got a series win over the Marlins. A very close series, all three games separated by a total of 4 runs, so a couple of one-run games in there on Saturday and Sunday. You got the Braves winning by a 4-3 score, and the Marlins on Sunday winning by a 4-3 score, so very close games in all of these, and great to see the Braves come out on top in some of these close games. They played in a lot of close ones lately and just haven't been able to make that play here or there in order to get the win. And while, look, I was a little bit critical on the postcast on Friday and Saturday because I just didn't feel like the Braves played a complete game still, but they did just what they needed to do in order to get those wins, and that is certainly a positive trend and a step in the right direction for this Atlanta Braves team. So overall, have to consider this a huge win for the Braves over the weekend, taking that series against the Marlins, a series they should win, a series they are supposed to win. Going into some player performances, my best of the weekend, who else but Ronald Acuna Jr.? You know he loves playing against the Marlins. Played all 3 games at DH, not wanting to put him back out there on that synthetic turf where he hurt the ACL last year, can understand that. But he was able to play in all 3 games at the DH position, which is great. Look, I was never a huge proponent for the DH coming to the National League, but I'm all for it now if it means Ronald Acuna Jr. gets to play more, and he certainly is benefiting from that right now. 5 hits and 3 walks on the weekend, 2 doubles, 2 stolen bases. This should probably go in part of my worst of the weekend, but he got on base 8 times and he scored just 2 times. That cannot be happening. And you look at Sunday as an example, a leadoff double, Matt Olson gets him over to third and the Braves can't get him in. Look, when he gets on base, especially when he leads off the inning with a double, that needs to result in a run. And I feel like he's getting on base a ton and he's not coming home to score. That needs to change quickly. Part of that due, obviously, to the middle of the order not hitting as well right now. But when Ronald gets on base, he needs to come around and score, especially when he gets on base 8 times in a weekend and only scores twice. That's just not a good ratio there. So, again, I'm kind of throwing one of my worst in there already, but my best is certainly Ronald Acuna Jr. and his continued level of play. Well, next on my best of the weekend is Marcelo Zuna. Look, he seems to be making more consistent hard contact right now. You know, had a stretch of hitting home runs in three consecutive games there, including the Friday night game in this Marlins series. He had a hit in all three games over the weekend, again, including a big home run on Friday. He did get caught stealing on Sunday. I'm mixing in some of my worst with my best in here. Got caught stealing on Sunday. I feel like he's been trying to run a lot lately, and I don't know why. I guess he thinks the other team is sleeping on him. That's a bit of a questionable decision, especially because if he had any speed at all, he would have already been on second in that case. It was kind of a weak hit ball, but it was going into the corner. Avisel Garcia, not the fleetest of foot. I thought it was a double off the bat, and he barely was rounding first base by the time Avisel Garcia got to it. So a little bit questionable there on the caught stealing by Ozuna. I do like to see the Braves being a little bit more aggressive on the base pass, and I like to see Ozuna making hard contact, and he has been doing that much more lately. Ozzy Albies as well had a good weekend, four hits overall, including a double, so nice to see him picking up some hits here and there, starting to get him going a little bit as well. The catching duo for the Atlanta Braves, a huge positive right now and definitely one of my best of the weekend. Travis d'Arnaud had three hits and a walk in the two games that he played, and Contreras only played in one game, but he made it worth it. Two solo home runs and a walk in Saturday's game. He was the star offensively on Saturday. The two catchers combined to score four runs and drive in three runs on the weekend. So the catching duo for the Atlanta Braves right now, getting the job done. One of my other best of the weekend. I have a lot of good ones, and that's obviously going to happen when you win a series. But, you know, if you listen to the postcast, I was a little bit down on the Braves. Not down on them, but just a little harsh in the way they won some of these games, because I thought they could have been better. There's still a lot that the Braves really did good over the weekend, including the defense. Another great week by the defense. Look, the infield in particular had that little hiccup in the Padres series. They've been great this past week since then. Specifically Dansby and Austin Riley. And I know Riley's been struggling at the plate. We'll get into that here in a second. But he has been excellent over there defensively at third base. Made some incredible plays in this game. Barehanded play on Sunday, a really good play there. He's been great. And Dansby Swanson is just on another level defensively right now. He made a play in Saturday's game. Grant McCauley said it might be the best play of the year, or the best play that you'll see from Dansby Swanson. A ball hit up the middle. He's deep into the center field grass. He gloves it, 360 spin, throws a dart to first to get the runner. Just an incredible play, but I feel like he's made several of those over the past week or so. So great stuff from the defense. Great stuff from Dansby Swanson, who is on a pace right now, I believe, to win the Gold Glove at shortstop this year, which would just be incredible for him. And with all these games being close, the defense being clutch, making those plays made a huge difference. So good to see the defense back on track this past week. And I wouldn't necessarily consider this a best, but I wanted to at least just mention the pitching. I thought the pitching was okay this weekend. Charlie, Kyle, and Ian, I thought they were all decent. I didn't think any of them were spectacular. You know, Kyle Wright really struggled with his command his first two innings and gutted it out and got through five innings. You know, Charlie Morton was kind of up and down for me in that outing. I thought Ian Anderson may be on pace to have the best outing of the weekend for a starter, and I think he got left in an inning too long. Snit trying to save the bullpen, try to run it back out there for a seventh inning. Might have cost the Braves the game. You don't know how things would have played out otherwise, but certainly thought Snit tried to push the envelope a little bit too much there with Ian Anderson, who otherwise had a pretty solid start. Although leadoff walks, they will come back to bite you. The first two runs he gave up, both coming off leadoff walks, and then give up two more in that seventh inning as well, which ended up being huge as far as the game went on. But I thought the pitching was okay. Bullpen was good on Friday, not so good on Saturday. And then good again on Sunday, obviously holding it right there, giving the Braves a chance to almost come back in Sunday's game. So I just thought the pitching was okay. Wanted to at least mention that. For my worst of the weekend, Austin Riley, 0-for-12 on the weekend. He walked once. He did just strike out three times. I guess if you're looking for a positive, left eight runners on base. He continues to struggle right now, and it's really it's really hard to watch, honestly. And he needs to move down in the lineup. I know Snicker's been kind of messing with that a little bit, but he continues to slump. Matt Olson continues to slump. It's a month-long slump now for Matt Olson, which is very worrisome. And look, these are two guys that out of the gate came out on fire, both of them did, and just looked amazing. So I believe they can get back there, but these slumps are going on for far too long, specifically for Matt Olson, who's batting under 200 for the last month now. He was 1-for-12 on the weekend, walked twice, struck out four times, left 10 runners on base. So not a great weekend for Austin or Matt. Has not been a great week or so for Travis DeMeritt. Over 11 over the weekend with four strikeouts. He's over his last 28 with 12 strikeouts and no walks. He hasn't had a hit since May 14th. So it's an extended drought now for Travis DeMeritt. You know, you wonder if that was just a little bit of a flash in the pan when he came up, which I'll take it. The Braves needed it. I think he'll continue to get ran out there, especially because you don't really want to push Acuna in right field right now. So look, you just got to hope it comes around. He looks distraught at the plate. Again, I talked about that on the postcast. Just the body language doesn't look good. And there's no walks. I mean, not having good at-bats either, not finding a way to at least get on base. That's a tough look right now for Travis DeMeritt. Hopefully he gets going. I really like him. Want to see him turn things around. And then my final, isn't it not necessarily a worst of the weekend, just kind of an overall takeaway from the weekend. I still didn't think the Braves played a complete game, and that's what I'm looking for right now. It's why I've kind of been a little harsh on them, even in some of these wins from Friday and Saturday. Still looking for them to just put that complete game together more consistently. My biggest thing, the inability to put teams away, is rather frustrating. Friday night in particular, you score 5 runs in the first 3 innings, you get the starter out of the game, and then you can't add on. And because of that, the Marlins start to chip away and come back, and Snicker has to use his best bullpen arms. That was one of my keys going into the weekend. Could they have a game where they put things away and take off the stress in late innings and allow Snicker to not have to use some of his best guys? And that just didn't happen. It didn't materialize in this game until Sunday, and you bring in Chavez and allows a couple more runs to come in there. So look, it's a tough situation for Snicker. You want to run out Minter and Jansen and Strider every day. I get it. You just can't do that over 162. And so I put that on the offense to put some of these games away. They had opportunities on Friday and Saturday to do that and just couldn't. And because of that, it's affecting other games. You know, had they done that on Friday and Saturday, then Snicker maybe goes to a better bullpen arm in the 7th inning and the Braves stay in that game. So, you know, it affects what happens in the bullpen. It affects what happens the next day. And we saw that in the series. The Braves unable to put those first 2 games away and put them out of reach so that Snicker could let, you know, Jackson Stevens or a Jesse Chavez come in a 4-run, 5-run game to kind of close things out and save his best bullpen arms. But the Braves have played so many close games over the past week or so that those arms are getting taxed right now, and Snicker's trying to avoid them at all costs, and that potentially cost the Braves a game on Sunday. So that's one of my worst of the weekend. It's something that I was looking for going into the weekend. They just weren't able to get it done. 6-for-28 with runners in scoring position, 21 left on base. You know, that's actually an improvement on what we've seen from the Braves offense this year at times. I thought they did a better job putting the ball in play, particularly on Saturday and Sunday. Only 7 strikeouts in those games going up against a tough starter in Sunday in Sandy Alcantara. They drew 11 walks on the weekend, 4 stolen bases, 2 by Swanson, 2 by Acuna. They also had 2 caught stealing. Like I said, I'm happy to see them being more aggressive, trying to create some offense, putting the ball in play, stealing bases. Those are good signs, in my opinion. Just got to have more of it and got to come up big in situations with runners on base. Those are my best and worst of the weekend. Next, I want to take a look at the top prospects and how they are performing at the minor league level and give you some of the highlights from the past week, and we'll do that next. I love brownies, and I know you do too, but what's more better than brownie batter? Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making the brownies. Imagine if you could lick that brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. You're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. And have you tried their Puffs yet? I'm not sure what you're waiting for. Puffs are a chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right, chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. And all Built Bars, like all of them, are covered in 100% real chocolate. With 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar, the Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. And they are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get the Brownie Batter Puffs now. Use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKED15 at Built.com for 15% off your order. Our minor league update of the week. Going to do a little different this year. I'm going to start, or this week, based on your responses. A lot of you liked the way that I was doing these weekly updates, but some of you said you like more focus on the top prospects. So I'm going to give you a little bit of both. I'm going to go through my top 10 prospects, who I think are the top 10 prospects in the Braves system right now, tell you how they're doing on the year, how they did the past week, and then I'll give you the highlights from each team as well. So starting at the top, Michael Harris, 306, 366, 522, 5 home runs, 30 runs, 27 RBIs, 14 walks, 36 strikeouts, and 10 stolen bases on the year. And he's coming off a monster week, 9 for 22 at the plate, 5 doubles, a home run, 8 runs, 5 RBI, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So a big week for Michael Harris. He was actually a little down last week, so nice bounce back for him. He was actually a late scratch on Sunday's game, and a lot of people thinking that maybe he was going to get promoted, but he did actually enter that game late. So everybody was on Michael Harris watch there for a minute, but it looks like he's sticking at AA Mississippi for a little longer. Drew Waters, my second-ranked prospect, 304, 333, 457, 2 home runs, 7 runs, 5 RBI, a walk, 15 strikeouts in 11 games. Strikeouts are a concern with Drew Waters, but still, he's been hitting the ball very well this season. 5 for 15 this past week in just 4 games. He continues to come back from that hamstring injury that cut his spring training short, and then he got hit in the elbow in Saturday's game as well and had to leave that one, so injuries starting to pile up for Drew Waters, but when he's been healthy, been in the game, he's been very good. Vaughn Grissom, my number 3 ranked prospect, 281, 390, 430, 4 home runs, 22 runs, 25 RBI, 18 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 6 stolen bases on the season. The bat-to-ball skills are there, takes his walks, doesn't strike out a ton, exactly what you expect from Vaughn Grissom. A little bit of a down week for him, only 3 for 19 at the plate, did have home run. Walked 3 times, struck out 4 times, and stole a base. Freddie Tarnock, arm I really like, 4.02 ERA on the year, 1.21 whip, 32 strikeouts, and 15 walks in 31 and 3rd innings. Got to cut down on those walks a little bit. This past week, he had a very solid outing, 6 innings, 3 hits, and 2 walks. That allowed 4 earned runs and 6 strikeouts. Jared Schuster, maybe the best pitcher of the year so far at the minor league level. 2.14 ERA, 0.86 whip, 43 strikeouts, and just 10 walks in 42 innings. Went 6 2/3 this last week, 6 hits, 4 walks, not great, 4 earned runs, and 5 strikeouts there from Jared Schuster. Kyle Muller, who we've seen up a couple of times now, 3.68 ERA, 1.31 whip, a little high on the year, 49 strikeouts in 36 2/3 innings, so racking up the strikeouts and 14 walks. Again, a few too many walks there. This past week, 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 walks, 2 earned, and 5 strikeouts for Kyle Muller at Gwinnett. Bryce Elder on the season at Gwinnett, 5.50 ERA, just a 1.06 whip, though, 19 strikeouts and 5 walks in 18 innings. This past week, had a very solid outing, 7 innings, 5 hits, just 1 walk, 3 earned, and 11 strikeouts. So great stuff from Bryce Elder. Get that command down and come back up. I really like that young man. Braden Shoemake having a very good year at AAA Gwinnett, 303, 368, 437, 2 home runs, 17 runs, just 7 runs batted in, 5 walks, and 18 strikeouts. Or 13 walks and 18 strikeouts, yes. He went 5 for 18 this past week, a double and a triple, 4 walks and 4 strikeouts. So Shoemake starting to show some improvement at AAA. I'd had Jesse Franklin in my top 10. He announced on Instagram this past week that he is having Tommy John surgery and will miss the rest of the season. So hate to hear that for Jesse Franklin, a big left-handed hitter in the Braves system. I have A.J. Smith-Shawver in here, 4.91 ERA, 1.53 whip, 50 strikeouts in 29 and a third innings, but 21 walks as the young arm struggling with control a little bit, and that showed in his last outing. He didn't make it out of the first inning, just two-thirds of an inning, two hits, two walks, two earned, and one strikeout. Got a high pitch count, and they don't want to blow out young arms throwing a lot of pitches in a single inning, so they got him out of there. So an unfortunate week for him after making two starts last week and having one of his best weeks of the year. And then finally, Darius Vines enters my top 10, a 4.35 ERA, 1.31 whip, 50 strikeouts on the season to 14 walks and 41 and a third innings. This past week at Mississippi, six innings, six hits, one walk, one earned, and seven strikeouts for Darius Vines. So those are my top 10 prospects, how they're doing on the year and how they did this past week. Now I'll just quickly go through each team and give you the highlights from the week. Bill Gosselin at Gwinnett, 5 for 21, two doubles, a triple, and a homer. Alex Dickerson with a couple of home runs. He's somebody that I said if you thought you wanted to make an upgrade over Travis DeMeritt, we'd be good to get a left-handed bat in there. But his defense is not great in the outfield, so I don't know if that would be a net positive for you, but he has been hitting the home runs lately. At Mississippi, Riley Delgado, 11 for 21 this past week. I think that was the most hits across the system this past week, but just one extra base hit. Yariel Gonzalez, 8 for 21 with two home runs for the Mississippi Braves. For the Rome Braves, Cody Milligan, 8 for 23, two doubles, four walks, and six runs this past week. Justin Henry Malloy was 6 for 21 with a double and two home runs. Roderick Munoz, 4 and two-thirds innings, two hits, two walks, one earned, and eight strikeouts in his lone start. Luis Diavila and Dylan Dodd both had shutout outings this last week and struck out four. Diavila went five innings, Dodd went six innings, so some good starts there at Rome. And then finally, Augusta Green Jackets. Not a lot of highlights there this week, but Brandall Mesquita, 7 for 21, a triple and a stolen base. No walks and 10 strikeouts, not great. I feel like I say his name every week. He's hitting .333 on the year, an .864 OPS for the 20-year-old. And I believe I saw Garrett Spain on Twitter say that he has a 30-game on-base streak right now. So he's been getting it done at Augusta. Maybe a name to watch out for. So that's your minor league recap of the week. Hopefully you enjoyed the new way that I'm doing that segment. Let me know your thoughts on it in the comment section. Next, we'll preview the Phillies series. So it's a four-game series for the Braves and Phillies starting in Atlanta on Monday night. I'll go ahead and give you the pitching matchups, and then I'll break down Mondays a little bit more. It's going to be Zach Wheeler versus Tucker Davidson, Kyle Gibson versus Max Fried, Ranger Suarez versus Charlie Morton, and To Be Determined versus Kyle Wright. So those are your pitching matchups for this four-game series. The Phillies have the exact same record as the Braves coming in at 19-22. They had lost three in a row in five of their last six games before walking off the Dodgers on Sunday in extra innings. Scored one in the ninth and then two in the bottom of the 10th to walk that one off and avoid getting swept. Their offense ranks 10th in runs scored, 7th in home runs, 23rd in walks, and 6th in strikeouts, 5th in stolen bases. They're 5th in average, 7th in on-base percentage, and 5th in slugging. So offense very similar to the Atlanta Braves, rely a lot on the home run ball. As far as the pitching staff, they rank 19th in ERA and 19th in whip. Their starters, however, are 15th in ERA and 13th in whip, so a little bit better than the bullpen. The starters are 7th in K per 9 and 4th in walk per 9, so the starters are much better in that regard. As you know with the Phillies, it's get into that bullpen. Their bullpen ranks 23rd in ERA, 28th in whip. They are 9th in K per 9, but they are last in the league in walks per 9. You have to be patient against that Phillies bullpen. Looking at Zach Wheeler for Monday night, he pitched against the Braves last September, took a tough luck loss as he only gave up two earned on four hits and a walk over seven innings with seven strikeouts. Couple of rough starts for Wheeler to start the 2022 season, but he's been really good over his last four. He didn't allow a run in three of his last four starts and went at least six innings in those three starts. Acuna is 8 for 28 against him with three home runs. Travis d'Arnaud 4 for 9. Everybody else not so fortunate against Zach Wheeler. So going to be a tough one on Monday. Tucker Davidson, he tossed six shutout innings against the Phillies last year. Hopefully he can duplicate that. For me, give me 5 innings and 2 earned or less. You know, that's what I'm looking for Tucker Davidson on Monday night. Very good, obviously powerful Phillies lineup. Throw strikes, make them string some hits together, keep the ball in the yard. You know, don't give up that 2 or 3 run homer. That's what you're looking for when you go up against this Phillies lineup. You know, avoid that big inning. That's what you're trying to do when you're going up against this Phillies team. Same that pitchers are trying to do going up against the Braves. So those are my keys for Tucker Davidson. As far as the Braves overall, like I said, I think the biggest key is get those starters out of the game, get into that bullpen, take your walks, put some pressure on those bullpen guys, and either come back late or put a game away late. Again, that is my key for this Braves team. When you get a lead, get into that bullpen, put the game away. Something they haven't been able to do. Hopefully something we get to see them do in this Phillies series. And you can't have any more splits. I know it's a 4-game series and I always say, you know, a split here is just fine. I'm not saying that anymore, especially at home. You got to get a series win here. It's time to start winning some of these 4-game series, and it would be huge to do so over the NL East rival Philadelphia Phillies. So that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Braves. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball. Also, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Really would appreciate it. Helps out the show a ton, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.